Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 8th of June, recording at 8:37 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first, we've had quite a statement from Greenspan here today, and I really described him as, I think I said, what a pro in the comment, but this is masterful communications here, because I think a lot of us have felt that Alan Greenspan was behind the curve on interest rates for quite some time, and it was interesting to see how he was going to get out of this problem without causing some sort of accident. And he's come out tough today as far as inflation is concerned with that statement about he's prepared to do what is required. Actually, it's a very sensible statement to actually make, and it certainly gives markets more to think about. The initial response was to really reassure stock markets, which firmed on the news, and also some of the commodity prices, some of the supply and elasticities decline. That also had something to do with a weaker trend for oil, but more about that a little later on in this broadcast. Now, the main theme here in terms of stock markets is that technical action, ever since those 200-day moving averages held and support was encountered by some of the leading indices such as the Standard & Poor's 500 index near the April lows, is that upside dynamics have dominated the day. And it really does look, I've been hoping that we would see a rally back towards the middle to upper region the trading ranges, mentioning that we might even see some new highs on some of these indices, but I was looking for that to be a sell opportunity. And the technical action, other than just putting a toe in on the NASDAQ, when I do that, I think I did that late last week, and that was premature, has kept me from really moving in and shorting the indices. And really, when I look at the technical action overall, when we've seen rallies from oversold conditions previously within this cycle, I'm talking about the cycle that goes right back to the recovery that started in March of last year, that I've played the upside both in long positions and shares and increasing them and taking out futures contract longs to play the upside, which I haven't done this time. As you know, I actually I covered about 85% of my short positions that I'd had fortuitously. I should have covered 100% because I'm certainly underwater in the others that I have. And the technical action here is still very firm overall, so that if I'm sensible, that'll stay my hand in terms of any further short positions at this stage. Now, those shorts are, I've described them as hedges, albeit asymmetrical and a bit more. So I'm probably just mildly net short overall. Now, what's the technical action in addition to the upper dynamics? What does this actually indicate? Well, those of you who have attended the chart seminar, and there'll certainly be a number of delegates who attended the course last Thursday and Friday, who will remember this example, that when you get a failed breakout from a recognizable congestion area trading range, that the market often goes back and tests the other side of that pattern. At least it's something I've mentioned on many, many occasions in the past, in these broadcasts and in some of my writings. So, in other words, market goes down, tests the April lows, is unable to break them or to sustain breaks beneath those levels for most of the European indices and North American indices, then turns around and can, a lot of traders will assume, well, it couldn't go down, so it'll at least test the highs. That's the sort of the rule of thumb. Failed breakout from a congestion area trading range, market goes back to the other side of the pattern. Thinking out loud here, I'm not all that sure that I mentioned that particular point at TCS on Thursday and Friday, but it's something that I've often, as I say, discussed and written about. To digress for another second, the trouble with connecting a seminar is that there's so many interesting things that come up during a 2-day workshop that sometimes I come away thinking, well, I might have mentioned this and I might have mentioned that as well, but not necessarily at the expense of some of the other interesting points that came up. Okay, back to these stock markets. What if I'm wrong in saying that my view that markets were unlikely to do anything significant on the upside, very unlikely to do anything significant on the upside beyond tests of the upper boundary, which we certainly appear to be heading towards, and that the odds favored sideways ranging at best within the trading range bands that we've seen this year, and or downwards, and that hypothesis is being questioned by the upper dynamics. Now, does that mean I'm changing my mind? I go rushing into these markets now? Not a bit, because we have some short-term overbought conditions, although with hindsight, it wouldn't have been a bad idea to establish at least some futures position longs when we got the initial upward dynamics near the April lows. I discussed where I was thinking of stock markets in terms of a bit of a Mexican standoff. That's a situation in which no one can emerge as a clear winner, and that's often the case in sideways trading ranges overall. And it prompted me to list some of the bull points and then some of the bear points. One of them I've just touched on, but I'll review them all. First, take the bull points for stock markets. Okay, despite an overall loss of upside momentum, the chart patterns haven't broken downwards significantly. Then there's the point from TCS that I just mentioned, that a failed break of the lower side of the range suggests now a test of the upper side of the range at least. Rates are still low, and that's interest rates, of course, and liquidity remains abundant. That's certainly an important point. Profits are still rising. The situation in Iraq is arguably improving, and the oil price is back below $40 a barrel. That could be an important one psychologically. Then, to take the bear points, that although chart patterns haven't broken downwards significantly, we have broadening patterns, which are more often associated with a top formation or at least a penultimate high. And short-term, stock markets are becoming overbought once again and approaching prior resistance. U.S. interest rates are bound to rise. Profits growth is probably unsustainable. And the situation in the Middle East remains precarious, despite the improving, well, possible improvement and probable improvement in Iraq. And energy prices are still very high, despite the recent setback. So there's the trade-off, and none of us should fall over in complete surprise if we get further sideways ranging overall. Now, to step back just a moment and go back to those Greenspan comments, I don't think I completely answered what I said I probably would, or indicated that I would in the comment of the day. What would be the implications here? People are talking about the federal funds rate, which is currently at 1%, going up to 4%, and saying that's necessary to reestablish a neutral monetary policy, whereas we have a very, very accommodative monetary policy right now. Well, I don't think rates would be able to go up to 4% by this time next year, as some people are now forecasting. I certainly agree that that would be justified by the inflationary pressures that we see building in the U.S. and other economies. And okay, that's not so much in terms of corporations increasing the prices of various goods, although that's starting now. But you see the inflation just about everywhere else, as you know. I don't need to go on and review all that. But my feeling is that the higher interest rates would cause problems for the market, not least the treasury bond market, but also certainly the stock market, and that might well frighten Greenspan and cause him to hold off for fear of tipping the economy and back into recession. And therefore, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw a moderate tightening, and then if we saw the Fed back off. And this would be quite likely without any of the exogenous shocks to the system, which hopefully will be avoided, or hopefully will not occur. So, against that background, you could see the Fed, as they say, tightening for a while, then backing off, easing monetary policy once again, which would help to shorten a recession or to prevent a recession, but then would start to stoke up the inflationary pressures once again. So my feeling is that we're going to see, at various stages, gradually building inflationary pressures, some stagflation, and eventually ending in a higher inflation overall due to the massive credit creation. But this is way down the road, and you probably have far more practical concerns here right now. Well, okay, let me just quickly carry on with a little bit of a review here. Remaining items. Bond markets. I noticed the US Treasuries, after being down most of the day, closed up with a modest gain here, 104.02 on the September contract. That's up 6.30 seconds. I covered my short there. What did I do it? I think I did it yesterday. And also the shorts, my short in the JGBs, I'd like to sell those again on any bounce, and I'll commence doing so on a baby steps basis if I see the bounce. And meanwhile, I'm a bit concerned that they may run against me on the downside. Currency markets, we had the euro push up higher against the dollar to up to 123.54, but it couldn't hold it. Currently trading at 122.65. And that reversed metals gains for the most part. So I'm just looking, we've got palladium here. Well, this hasn't done much, 242 on the September contract. Silver got clipped though. It rallied up to 593, I think, on the July contract, currently at 579. Still range trading there. Gold had pushed up to 395.40 and it pulled it back, closed at 391.25, down $2.50. And among the metals, two of them were up on the day. The tin was up, but only $25, 9,350. I own that one, as you know, have an in-the-money stop. Lead was down, not excessively. I've got an in-the-money stop on that, and that's been a star performer for me of late. And what else to mention? Nickel. Nickel and tin were the only metals that were actually up on the day, and they weren't up. They weren't up all that much. Now, the big story, though, was the oil price. Vexed because having left last Wednesday, having left the office, well, before the close of the U.S. markets, I hadn't seen that key day reversal that occurred. And then I had the chart seminar on Thursday, and although I came in on Thursday to do a comment and an audio, I didn't really have a chance to do a comprehensive review and didn't look at the crude oil. I'd looked at the natural gas, which had come down, but it was the crude that had the key day reversal. At any rate, the importance of that is that it has capped the market, certainly capped the market for at least the short term, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if a medium term correction wasn't underway. Now, you know my view on this one. I've posted that weekly chart in the past. I posted both the daily and the weekly. We had a weekly key as well. And that's quite a dynamic signal. Now, in terms of the weekly chart, when I posted that previously, I've said, look at, we've got this big platform of underlying support, but it is overextended and over a little bit overextended and overbought in the short term, and due for potentially for a consolidation. And certainly it looks like that consolidation is underway, and given the dynamics that we've seen That suggests to me that we'll last, this consolidation will last for a number of weeks and possibly, quite possibly, months, and that it would take a real threat to supplies once again. Unfortunately, a real threat to supplies could occur very easily, and but without that, I would expect this consolidation to correction to last for several months. So I'll really have to reconsider my natural gas position. Natural gas is a different kettle of fish, to mix metaphors, but I'm not sure that I want to be holding onto that remaining natural gas position, currently trading at a bit of a loss. If crude's going to be soft, I'll have to think about that one. And the overall trend for natural gas is still up, however, but I'm not going to make that decision this evening at any rate. And I think that's pretty much the roundup, so just have a good evening, what's left of it.